of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Brother Kip, would you open us up in prayer, please?
It's a good place to be tonight. I've already felt the Lord here, and that's all we need right there. I know it's cold out, but here a while back, not too many days ago, it was hot out. So we just have to take it and go with it. But I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Glad the Lord gave me a desire to be here. Glad he gave you a desire to be here. We was going to have a choir singing as kind of the plan, but that probably didn't work out. So the Lord will take care of all of that. We got a pretty good singer right there, I think. And I'll tell you, if you got a song you want to sing, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Just come on up and sing it. And Jim, if you got a song you want to sing, come on up, brother.
Yeah.
I'm glad you come this way. Glad of all of you, and I don't have a whole lot to say. God's been good to me. I've heard a lot of things this week that's kind of broke my heart, and I've heard a lot of things that's blessed me. And so I'm glad of them things. We got a lot of people that's sick, and we got a lot of people that's lost. And they need to be saved. And that's our main goal of having church, to keep ourselves in shape where we can pray and help those people when the time comes to do it. I'd like for Chris, if he would, to get another song. I don't think we can have too much prayer. I just wanted to hear Kip pray tonight. But I think after a while, in a little bit, we'll all go to prayer. And I like for us to, I know this is kind of a habit of mine, but I like for us, if you feel like it, while we're singing this song, just gather around and up front if you want to. Shake hands with one another. If you want to give somebody a big hug, you do that. And after a while, we'll turn it over to Brother Jim, Jimmy, and he'll preach for us. I enjoyed the service this morning. Enjoyed Charlie teaching. Enjoyed Al preaching. It got me through the day, and I appreciate him. So right now, let's all gather around and shake hands with one another, and we'll have our family prayer together.
Page 55.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that blinding cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Go to 133. Keep on shaking till you're done. 133.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Wonder if anybody might have a request, a prayer request before we go to prayer, or a testimony.
Christmas.
an unspoken request. Sure. And one wants to come up front, come on up, and we'll have our prayer together. Another one, Chris.
I'll sing Jimmy his song since he's preaching tonight.
Yeah, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son his sin. All love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong.
saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. All love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song.
Anyone have anything to say? All right, Brother Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you, buddy.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And I love it. And when there's things that I have no control over, but yet I have concern, I can talk to him about it. And he listens. And he loves me. And I just want to thank him.
Amen. Bless you, Tim. Amen. Bless you. Someone else. Someone else. Anyone else have testimony? Let's hear it. Somebody give us a testimony. If you got your Bibles with you, let's go to Exodus chapter 3. I'm trying not to cough. Man, I've been having this cough for, I think, since I was 18 years old now. I've had it for like 2 months. Can't get rid of it. I don't know what it is. So. But I know other people said they've had the same problem. But y'all just pray for me that. Been through a lot this week. Had a funeral there Friday, so a little bit scatterbrained tonight, you know. But God has a plan for us, and He gives us what He wants us to hear, and He's always going to supply it whenever we're just willing to speak up for Him. I do believe that. I believe that whenever we're willing to go somewhere in His name, then He's going to supply what we need. He's going to give us everything that we need. So y'all pray tonight that this comes together. And we know that that He does bring things together. But I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about when the great or the who am I meets the I am. When the who am I meets the I am. Exodus chapter 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And you notice, as Tim said earlier, that the God of this universe knows our name. He knows our name, and he knew Moses' name, even though Moses at that time wasn't sure who was speaking to him. He knew that it was something great, but you know, he heard this voice and he saw this wondrous sight. And God called him by his name and said, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not thy nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. So God calls Moses, he calls him out of the wilderness, he calls him out of the burning bush, and he calls him by name, and he has a mission for him. And he doesn't say, Moses, I've heard your cries that you're having a tough time, and I'm here to help you out. And he doesn't say, Moses, I know that you're a refugee, and I know that you killed a man back in Egypt, and I'm here because you've cried unto me. He talks to Moses, and he comes to Moses because he heard the cry of his people. He heard the cry of other people. And so when he heard the cry of other people, God decided to take action on their behalf and to bless them and to free them and to be their God, and he would be their people. And so what I'm trying to get at is that he called another person to help out a whole group of people. And so he called Moses not to help himself, but he called Moses because he had a group of people that he needed his help with. And so he called him for the sake of other people. And it goes on and it says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he responded with the question, who am I that you would have me to do this great thing? And who am I? I don't have the skills. I don't have the clout. I don't have the status to be able to do this, what you asked me to do. And yet God asked him to do this thing. And a lot of times we need to realize that God has something in store for other people. He has something in store for people that are crying out to him, people that he knows are in pain, people that he knows are good people that don't know him, people that he knows have good hearts, people that he knows will one day come to know him. And he calls us so that we can go and we can be ambassadors to those people. You see, he uses us so that we can go to those who need to be freed, just like he did to Moses. And we, just like Moses, a lot of times say, who am I that I should go? Who am I? I'm nobody that I would be able to go and do these things that you would ask me to do. And so, you know, we doubt ourselves and we don't believe that we can do anything. But it's not we who are there to go and do these things by ourselves. It is the one who calls us to do these things. And it goes on and it says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, I was thinking about that. As he sat upon that mountain, he probably went on that mountain lots of times with his herd. He probably went on that mountain lots of times, maybe to gather wood or to do whatever it is that he did. And so God was giving him a vision and saying, on this mountain that you're so used to, it'll be a token to you that on this very place that the people that I've called to be free, all the people of Israel, you're going to go in and you're going to set them free. And not only that, you're going to bring them to this place. And so it must have been mind-blowing for Moses standing there looking around, knowing that there's nothing here, knowing that this is just an ordinary place that he'd been to time after time. And to know that God had in store for him that not only was he going to go, but he was going to free those people out of Israel, his people, and that they were going to be free and that they were going to be on this very mountain in the future. Now, that must have been quite a shock to come unto Moses, because a lot of times we look around and we look at our church and we look at our situation and we look and it doesn't look like there's much that's going to be going on. But God is calling us, that saying that, hey, in the future, we're going to do some great things, you and I. We're going to do some great things, and I need you to do your part. And I need you to do what I call you to do, because where you're standing right now could be a whole lot different than what it is. Where you're at right now in your life could be a whole lot different. Me and you can go, and we can do great things if you would only allow me to do it. And so it's hard for us to see sometimes when he calls us to preach, or when he calls us to have any kind of ministry. It's hard for us to see the fruits of that labor when at the time there isn't any fruit to see. But what he was doing, he was giving Moses a promise. And he was saying, I know that the mountain that you're on right now is barren, but one day it will be full of the people that you are sent to free. What a vision that would be. And how hard would it be for Moses to see that? How hard would it be for him? Because what happens is, he doesn't look and say, well, you know, God has done this for Abraham, and God has done this. You know, he sent Abraham to the Canaan land, and he's the one who delivered Noah from the flood. And he probably wasn't thinking about those things at the time. What he was probably thinking is I can't do any of this. There's nothing in me that says that I can go, and that I can go to Pharaoh. He probably looked at himself deep within and said, I just can't do it. There's nothing. God must be mistaken. And so it's hard for him to see the future results. How would he be able to know? How would he be able to see that vision of what was to come? It would be hard, because at that time he couldn't see it. But that's what God promised him that he would do. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So he was asking, what is it that I should say? Who is it that I should say has called me to do these things? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent thee unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And so he told him to go and to tell them that the God, the great I Am, was sent to go and to return them and to bring them into the promised land. And how is it so hard to see that which God wants us to do and that which he calls us to do? And then he had to go to the elders of Israel and say, look, I know you all don't know who I am. You have no idea who I am, but I'm here to set you guys free. And the doubt that would have been sowed in them that say they might have looked upon him and said, who is this old man that's coming in here talking crazy? Who is this old man that's talking about seeing visions and seeing the things that he sees and trying to tell us that we're going to be going out into the promised land? And so they were probably full of doubt. But whenever you have people, whenever you have ones who are willing to go out and to do what they're called to do, God will show up in a mighty way. The great I am is there. He will make who am I into I am that I am. He is there to make those things happen. I thought about all the great people that God used throughout the Bible. And you can look in here and you can see all the times that they first came to that meeting where God said, I have something great in store for you. I think about Samuel when he was a young boy. He was a young boy being tutored by Eli. And God called him and said, and called his name and said, Samuel, Samuel. And finally, he kept going to Eli. And then finally, he went to Eli and Eli said, next time that happens, you say to God. And he says, I'm going to go to it. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the way of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So he didn't know him yet. He didn't know what it was that God had in store. And it says, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. There it is again. Called him by his name. Isn't that great, Tim? That's great. That's such a blessing that we don't know who it is. Samuel didn't even know who was calling his name, but God knew exactly who Samuel was. And it wasn't like he was fooled, God was fooled saying, well, this man is a great person. This kid is a, you know, I know that he is everything. What it is he saw someone and he saw good in him. And he knew that with his help that he could use Samuel, and that someone who was obedient, he would be able to use him. But he knew his name, and he called him out by name. Samuel didn't even know who he was. Moses didn't even know who he was. But God knew who they were. And you know what else? The world would know who they were eventually. The world would know Moses. Back when he first started, he probably walked into Israel or walked into Egypt, and they probably had no idea who this man was. And they said, well, what's that guy's name again that came in today? And they said, his name is, I don't know, starts with an M. Moses? Something like Moses? And then it would go on to generations later that Moses would be held up in such high regard that when Jesus came along, they were comparing him to Moses. So this man who was nothing, this man who said, who am I, became a great leader in Israel. And he became the standard bearer for all of the ones who came after him, that they compared themselves to him. But he didn't start out that way. He started out as, who am I that I could even do anything? And it's not about who am I, but it's about the I am that I am that we serve. It's about the great God that we serve. And so Samuel didn't even know who was calling his name. But finally, when he came and he called and Samuel, Samuel, then Samuel answered and he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. I want you to say that to the Lord next time he calls you to do something. Next time you feel called to go and do something great. The next time he puts a vision in your mind. The next time he puts an idea in your head about a certain area that you're supposed to be working on. Something that he calls you to do. Those things that we look at and say, maybe. No, that's crazy. I can't do that. That is the Lord speaking to you and giving you that vision. The same vision he gave to Moses when he said, on this mountain are going to be full of the freed people that are in bondage now. He will give you the same vision as those things that are to come. And we need to not say, no, I can't do that. Or, you know, who am I? There are much better people for that. We need to say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Because it's not us, but it's God in us who goes. I like the attitude of David. You know, David became emboldened every time the Lord spoke unto him. Every time he was able to do something in the Lord. You know, it was First, when he was protecting the sheep, and the lion came along, and he slew the lion, and the bear came along, and he slew the bear. And by that time, he had listened to God so many times that when there was a giant out in front of them, when everybody else was quaking in their boots, he wasn't looking and saying, wow, you know, I have nothing that I can bring at this time. I'm going to leave. What he did was he looked down there and he got angry. And he got angry because, and he said, who is this man that he would defy the God of Israel? And he got angry because he knew that this man was trying to go against the God that he served. And so David, knowing that it wasn't about himself, but it was about this God who had protected him before, protected him against the lion, protected him against the bear. He knew that this man, or that this God, was going to be there to use him again. And so his attitude was, if God did it before, God can do it again. And his attitude was, why is no one standing up to this one who defies the children of Israel? I think about David's brothers and how angry they must have been at David. How angry they must have been because their little brother, who they probably picked on all the time, who wasn't even in the army, he was just there to bring them food. They probably didn't even give him the time of day, probably teased him all the time. But he came along and he was the one who stood up. And they probably said, David, you're a fool. David, you're a fool. Saul, don't listen to him. He's my brother and he just runs his mouth. David, you're a fool and you need to sit behind. But David knew that he was with the God of Israel. He knew that God was with him. And he said, you come before me with a sword and with a shield. You come before me with all these things. But I come before you, Goliath, in the name of Almighty God. What a confidence builder to know that we can face everything with God on our side. Because we know that he is the one who has called us. And he is the one who will provide a way for us. And so Moses and Samuel and David, we all know when they first began to be called by the Lord to do these things. And there was some doubt. There was some doubt. But with time and with obedience and with listening to what God had for them and to believe in what God was putting in their hearts, then they were able to do great things, not for themselves, not for themselves. Like I said with Moses, it wasn't because Moses needed help. When God called Samuel, it wasn't because Samuel needed help. When God called David, it wasn't because David needed help, but it was because other people need help. That's what we are called to do. We as Christians, when God calls our name, it's not because he wants to help out Kip so that Kip can be the best person for himself. It's because God wants to use Kip to reach his coworkers like he does and like he goes out. Because God says, there are people around you, buddy, that I need you to talk to and I need you to witness to. And he's able to do that. And it's about those people that God knows that are there, that have a heart for him, but that just need to be freed. Just like the people in Egypt needed to be freed. And he calls us, those of us who follow him, those of us who call on his name, he calls us for other people. He calls us to do things that we can do. The ministries that we do, the music that we do, the everything that God calls us. He puts that vision in our minds and he says, this is possible, but I need you to follow me and I need you to step out. And I need you to do, and I need you to trust that I am that I am. I am the great and powerful God. And that it's not about you, but it's about what I can do, and it's about other people that need us right now. And so God will lift us up. He is faithful to do that. You know, the disciples, they saw all these great things. They saw Jesus do all these great things. And they must have thought, there's no way in the world that I could ever do anything like he has done. There's no way in the world that I can speak like he speaks. Excuse me. There's no way in the world that I can help people the way that this man helps people. How they must have felt in his shadow. But once Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and once he ascended, and they looked around and they said, you know what, boys? There's a world out there that needs us. And God has promised that he will send us a comforter. He will send us the Holy Spirit. And we've seen what he can do. And so they stopped saying, who am I? And they started saying, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And they changed the world. They changed the world because there were people that needed to be reached. And they changed the world because they stopped thinking about who they were, and they started thinking about who God was that had called them to do those things. You see, he called them. When Jesus met them, what did he say to them at first? Called them by their name. Called them by their name. Because he knew who they were, and he had a job for them to do. He has a job for each and every one of us. We're no less significant than Moses was, than Samuel was, than David was, than Peter was, than Andrew was, than James. We're no less significant than they were in their day. We're every bit as important to our world as they were to their world. We're the same importance to the world of 2017 as Moses was to the Israelites that were in bondage. We're no less important to the Gentiles than Paul was at the time that he saw the light, and that there were a great people that God said, I want you to go out to this new group of people that have never been called by my name, and you're going to go out and you're going to speak to them, and they're going to come see the light, and they're going to come to know me. They're going to give up their gods in Greece. They're going to give up their gods in Rome, and they're going to follow me because I need your help. And he was able to say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. We have a great job to do in 2017. Not for us, but for other people that God has. And he's already planning their salvation. We just have to make sure that we're a part of it. As we get a song of invitation, if anybody has a need, we ask you to come. We always invite you to come. If you have anything at all that you need to bring to the Lord, he said to come unto me. Come unto me. He said to try me, to learn of me, to know of my spirit. And he will be there, and he will give us peace and rest. As we get a song of invitation, you come.
Page number 11. Number 11.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You know, we talked about Moses, we talked about Samuel, we talked about David, talked about Peter, we talked about Paul, but I want to talk to you about, let's say, Chris. When Chris started, he probably felt like he was couldn't stand up to what his dad was doing. Is that, I mean, was your dad was...
He was the best.
He was awesome. How many people have you seen saved while you were singing? Can you name them all? I mean,
no,
you can't. Those were the people that God was calling, that he was calling Chris and saying, Chris,
I've got a job for you because there's people out there. It's not about you, buddy, but it's those people that's going to be saved because of me and you working together. And Pan, your dad was a preacher, right? Your dad was a preacher. That's a lot. That's a lot to think. Well, I'm not going to be doing that. But how many people have came to be saved while you're playing the piano? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's amazing. We look and we say, who are we compared to others around us? But God has a job for us, for other people. I want to talk, Al, when you were in California, did you ever think, one day I'll be in West Virginia and there will be an untold number of people saved in West Virginia because of me? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Did you think that, Al? Didn't think, no. No, had no idea. But God called Al one day and he said, I want you to stay put. And he said, I want you to preach the word. And there are people in that area that are going to be saved because of your ministry, of your ministry. And how many people has that happened? He probably thought, there's Tim. Yeah, there's a lot in here. And you know, how would he have known? He probably said, who am I to preach? Who am I to preach? Because they won't listen to me. They're not going to listen to me. But with him and God, other people were reached and came to know God because he was able to say that. And that, didn't know I was going to say all that, but that came to my mind. And you can go on and on with each and every person in here and how God has reached other people because we were willing to go where God wanted us to go. Where he wanted us to go. That's a good thought. Think about it, isn't it? Good thought. Yes. Bless you, Kim.
I don't even know where to start, but when you got out there and you said Exodus chapter 3, well, anybody that was around here in 2010, end of 2010, beginning of 2011, that scripture was what God spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I had been praying for some time. God used me to make a difference in somebody's life. And never dreamed that it would be a 9-month-old baby. Mm-hmm. And, we learned to punt her. And, we knew the right thing to do was to go get him and bring him and take care of him. But, sometimes what we think is the right thing to do is not what God wants.
Right.
And we were camping in Lewisburg, and my heart was heavy. And I said, God, you've got to speak to me real loud. Because, we had two girls, and Brianna was 7 years old. I was okay that I didn't have three kids. I was okay that I didn't have a son. I was fighting it because I really, honestly didn't want to do it.
Bless you, Kim.
But I knew it was the right thing to do, but I wanted to do it because it's what God wanted, not what I wanted.
Amen.
And, I was flipping through my Bible. I've shared this story before, but every time I hear somebody talk about Exodus chapter 3, I just get excited.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Flipping through my Bible, saw this picture that was picture of the burning bush and the scripture Exodus chapter 3, and I knew God had spoke to Moses through a burning bush, and I knew it was in Exodus, but I didn't know it was Exodus chapter 3. I'm just being honest. I just didn't really know, but I know now.
Yeah.
I know now, and I started reading. I saw that picture, and I thought, I think I'm going to read the scripture.
Yeah.
And it was what I needed at the time because God said, go get my people.
Amen. Bless you.
How much more plainer is that? And I see their afflictions. You know, it wasn't just Hunter. I mean, he's got two brothers and a sister by his birth mother. And God said, they had afflictions. They had, they didn't have a good life. And so how all of that just came together and spoke to me.
Yeah.
Me. And I said, God, who
Bless you, Kim.
But God spoke real loud to me.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I used that. And as you all know, it didn't just happen overnight. We really had to fight for him. It took 3 years of driving to Princeton every time we went to court. And every time we went, I read that scripture. And you know, it goes on. God told Moses, Moses told God, I can't talk. I can't do this. And God said, I'll send you an Aaron.
Right.
I could just name everybody in this church was an Aaron to us. Bless you. Bless you, Kim. Giving us clothes and encouragement. Our tolls would be paid for sometimes when we would travel the turnpike. And Sabrina's family came and prayed with us around the flagpole outside the courthouse one time. Countless stories that God wrote. I didn't write them. Yeah. God wrote those stories. And then, you know, when Moses started going and talking to Pharaoh and saying, free my people, it didn't just happen overnight.
Right.
He didn't just go one time. It took 10 times. And so every time, months would pass and months would pass, God would say, it took 10 times. It took 10 times. And so we just kept fighting and we kept fighting. I clung to that scripture. And that's what got us through. And you know, eventually it happened. And we had an adoption hearing. And he's our son now. And that's been 4 years ago that it was final. It all started in 2010. But that scripture still just gets me excited. Yeah. I know that most of you all have heard that story, but it's God's story. God wrote it, and it's worth sharing again and again.
Bless you,
so,
Kim.
And, you know, you were saying that you know, God used these people, and you might think that you might need to reach an adult.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought when I was praying that. But God used me to reach a baby.
Amen.
That was, at the time, 9 months old. Now he's 7 years old. And it's amazing.
Amen.
And it's just because God did it, not me.
Bless
I just
you.
Followed his direction. I asked for his direction, and he showed me. And I didn't think you were ever going to stop preaching. Before. I just wanted to interrupt you.
Bless
and
you.
And say, I know so much about that scripture.
Amen.
Because I studied it. Amen. Because that's what got me through those 3 years of fighting for this, this little boy that drives me crazy.
One day he called it. One day he said, Kim, there's a little boy out there I need, and you're going to help me get him.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
When I think about that, I know I'm not the only one in this church that has ever adopted a child. And I think Jeremy and Jesse, you know, they I try to tell them all the time, just be happy you don't have any kids. But they do bring joy.
Amen.
So if you all remember them, they're fighting that battle that I fought.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle. I mean, there are so many struggles. There were struggles with, I'm supposed to be a Christian praying for somebody to get better, but yet when I would hear about birth mommy getting better, I would get mad because then I thought I was going to have to give him back, even though most days he drove me crazy. And so there's just so many emotions that go with that.
Amen.
I know what Jeremy and Jesse's going through.
Amen.
So if God brings it to your mind, pray.
Amen.
Pray
bless you, Kim. Bless you, Kim.
Amen.
Stories could go on and on. Amen. All hearts and minds free tonight.